want to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very Krishna conscious and a happy new year. It is so amazing that somehow or the other Mahaprabhu's grace has brought us to this wonderful holy dham, this Audharya dham, to be residents and to practice Krishna consciousness here. And in such gratitude, we should all make new sankalpas, resolutions for the new year as to how we can all personally and collectively become of some use to the mission of Srila Prabhupada. This morning we are reading from Canto 6, Chapter 18, Text 47. Diti vows to kill King Indra. Shri Kashyapa uvacha. Na himshad bhuta jatani. Na shapen nantri nanritam vadet. Na chindyan nakharomani. Na sprished yad amangalam. Shri Kashyapa uvacha. Na himshad bhuta jatani. Na shapen nanritam vadet. Na chindyan nakharomani. Na sprished yad amangalam. Shri Kashyapa uvacha. Ladies. Kashyapa uvacha. Shri Kashyapa uvacha. Kashyapa Muni said, Na himsati, must not harm, bhuta jatani, the living entities. Na shapet, must not curse. Na, not. Anritam, a lie. Vadet, must speak. Na chindiyat, must not cut. Nakha romani, the nails and hair. Na sprishet, must not touch. Yat, that which. Amangalam, impure. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Kashyapa Muni said, my dear wife, to follow this vow, do not be violent or cause harm to anyone, do not curse anyone, and do not speak lies. Do not cut your nails and hair, and do not touch impure things like skulls and bones. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Kashyapa Muni's first instruction to his wife was not to be envious. The general tendency of anyone within this material world is to be envious, and therefore to become a Krishna conscious person, one must curb his tendency, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Paramo Nirmatsaranam. A Krishna conscious person is always non-envious, whereas others are always envious. Thus, Kashyapa Muni's instruction that his wife not be envious indicates that this is the first stage of advancement in Krishna consciousness. Kashyapa Muni's desire to train his wife to be a Krishna conscious person, for this would suffice to protect both her and Indra. I have a confession to make. I have been a devotee here, joined in Mayapur, and been here most of my life. And in the last 38 years, this is the first opportunity I have to be able to give a Srimad Bhagavatam class in Sri Sri Radha Madhava Chandradoy Mandir. I consider this a great auspicious saubhagya for myself, and at the same time, there will be some discrepancies and not be able to present Srila Prabhupada's purport properly, so I ask for forgiveness ahead of time. Hare Krishna. Kashyapa Muni, here in the translation, he is explaining to his wife, he said, please kindly follow the norms. He is saying, do not curse anyone, do not speak lies, don't do this, don't do that. These are behaviors in Krishna consciousness. The Srimad Bhagavatam, in most part, is explaining how a sadhaka, how a person who is walking the path to achieve the Supreme Lord, must correct his behavior before he can achieve anything in the line of Krishna consciousness. Behavior is a very important aspect of Krishna consciousness, of making advancement. There is a Vaishnava poet who has said, jal se patla gyan hai, paap bhumi se bhari, krodh agni se tej hai, kalank kajar se kari. He is explaining that of all the ingredients, materials, jal se patla gyan hai, the spiritual knowledge is thinner than water. And therefore, in order to contain spiritual understanding, realizations, we must have a patra, a container, in which such knowledge can be contained and stays. And that patra, our acharyas are explaining, is behavior. With the correct Vaishnava behavior, we can actually maintain all the knowledge that we receive from the books, from our acharyas, and from our daily practice of Krishna consciousness. So this is a point that is being made here by Kashyapa Muni. And after reading the purport, I was thinking that how wonderful our acharyas are, that in so little they give us oceanic knowledge. One time I was hearing a katha from Janani Vas Prabhuji. I had the good fortune of traveling with him for many months. We traveled together for TOVP work in America and Canada. And many times he mentioned this, that Srila Prabhupada said that sometimes to write the purports of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I have to meditate on one word for more than 3 days, so that I can put the right word, the right meaning should come out of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And therefore, it is very important that you devotees give me some time so that I can properly present Srimad Bhagavatam to you. And that is evident here in Srila Prabhupada's purport, how from the translation, Kashyapa Muni's speech, Srila Prabhupada has extracted the most wonderful lesson for all of us to learn. Kashyapa Muni's first instruction to his wife was not to be envious. The word envy is not mentioned by Kashyapa Muni, but Srila Prabhupada has concluded that when a person he becomes violent, or when he causes harm to another, when he lies, when he becomes angry, these are all symptoms of the defect of enviousness. Of the six enemies that we all carry in our hearts, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mad, and matsarya. Matsarya is envy. And it is the subtlest of all, especially in Kali Yuga, since all of us have to live together in order to perform the Sankirtan movement, in order to perform bhakti. It is very difficult in Kali Yuga not to be quarrelsome, because the very nature of Kali Yuga is deceit and quarrel. And quarrel comes from envy. This is the purport of Srila Prabhupada. So I was thinking that today is the first day of a brand new year, a very significant year for all of us. We are all going to be meditating on 50 wonderful years of Srila Prabhupada's endeavor and establishment of this movement that all of us are cherishing, and we will for generations to come. If we can simply make a sankalpa that this year we will try to recognize, number one, the envy in our heart towards other devotees, and number two, try to curb it. That in itself will help us make tremendous advancement. If the heart is not peaceful, then there is no question of Krishna sitting in it. In order to maintain the peace in our heart, we can sacrifice anything, because that is the real wealth of a devotee. He must be very peaceful, and peace comes from non-enviousness, even if we have to tolerate another's bad behavior. In the beginning of the Bhagavatam, this very lesson is given to us when Dharma, in the form of the bull, his three legs were broken by Kali, and the pious king, Maharaj Parikshit, he approached the bull and he was saying, "You let me know, you tell me who has done this to you, and I will give him appropriate punishment." And at that time, Dharma, he exhibits his very non-envious quality and tells Maharaj Parikshit, "Maharaj Parikshit, What has happened to me right now, many things are caused. It is my time, it is my karma, it is the influence of the yuga. Who should I blame? So many factors are involved. So in the same way, whenever we are harmed by another person, in a very peaceful and non-envious way, we should be able to solve the problem in our minds, first and foremost, by tolerance. That is why of the Sikshastakam, the shloka where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Trinadapi sunichena taror iva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. This shloka is to be tied around the neck of every devotee. This shloka will help us realize all the other instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this is the most difficult thing to do. I heard from one devotee a very nice statement. He said, to be envious of another is like drinking poison and expecting him to die. How is that possible? We are drinking the poison of envy, looking at the faults of another, meditating, becoming disturbed. It is not harming the other person. And we are thinking by our disturbance, he is going to die. He is not going to be harmed. So let us not drink the poison of envy because it is not going to do any harm to the other person. Once there was a saintly person and he was bathing in the river with many of his disciples. And while he was bathing, because of his saintly nature, he saw a scorpion that was drowning in the waters of the river. Scorpions cannot swim. So immediately, out of his compassion, which was so natural to him, he put his hand underneath the scorpion and tried to flick him out of the water. But as he was doing that, the scorpion bit him. And as you know, the scorpion's bite, it has effect immediately. So the saint went, ah, and he dropped the scorpion back in the water. And then he saw the scorpion again was starting to drown. So again, the saintly person tried to do the same thing, picked him up and tried to flick him, and the scorpion bit him again. The disciples were very concerned and they were saying, what is Gurudev doing? Again and again the scorpion is biting, and then again and again he's trying to save his life. So while the disciples were attempting to complain that please don't do this, he tried it one more time, and this time he was quick enough to be able to flick him out of the water, save his life and not get bitten. And then he told his disciples, he said, the scorpion's nature is envious and therefore indiscriminately he bites. If he doesn't want to give up his nature, why should I give up mine? So such stories in the lives of saintly people, they give us inspiration that in such extreme circumstances, we have to be compassionate, we have to be tolerant, and we have to always see good qualities in others if we want to remain peaceful and friendly and thereby be able to perform our Krishna conscious duties. I will give you another example. The example, many spiritual siddhantas are there in our very body. One example is that of the tongue. The tongue is gentle and it comes into the body even when the teeth have not arrived. And the tongue is serving the body, but it is very soft by nature. And it lives in this house, the mouth, that is surrounded by 32 very hard personalities, the teeth. And even though the tongue is completely wrongly placed. It is living in the midst of these very hard teeth. It survives. It gives taste to the mouth, and thereby the teeth also get nourished. But once in a while, when the tongue goes to the wrong place by mistake, the teeth do not even think twice and bite the tongue. And the tongue goes, ah, oh, but it does not leave the association, does not leave the service. It stays there. It stays there. And then this is the quality of saintly people. No matter whatever situation they are put into, they do not try to change their situation and go here and go there. They simply tolerate it and serve the situation, and thereby they can win the situation and live in that situation. So the tongue is so helpless. It stays its entire life in the association of these hard teeth, so many times get bitten. But then you see the nature of the tongue, that when that same teeth or one of the tooth, it becomes bad, it gets a swelling, it becomes infected, that same tongue goes to the tooth and goes like that. Are you okay? Can I massage you? Can I do something? And it massages. It gives us association, its softness to the same tooth. Not thinking, oh, he had bitten me the other day, I'm not going to do any favor to him. This is the way to understand how to live wonderful Krishna conscious life. But then the same saintly person who's explaining like this, he says, because the tongue is always in the mood of seva and humility, you should not consider that the tongue is weak and out of weakness it is doing what it is doing. Because if the tongue wishes, in 1 minute he can have all the teeth out of the mouth. By saying one wrong thing, one big guy is going to come and take all the teeth out. So humility, seva, they have their own spiritual strength. They are hidden. They are there. Srila Prabhupada was so humble, so meek. Even he exhibited humility in front of his own disciples. So many times his disciples would come adamantly, Prabhupada, we have to do this. Prabhupada, okay, do. And at that time he would let them, and then slowly in the right time he would correct them. So this is some of the ways we can become inspired to give up our envy, to give up our tendency to retaliate, to encourage ourselves to always be and always remain in the mood of seva and service. One saintly person is explaining another wonderful point to remember, to always encourage us. You know, especially in India, for all of you who are living here, beautiful Bengali children, you see, so cute and nice, and the mother dresses them so nicely, bathes them, puts oil on their hair, gives them some very wonderful clothes, even puts some powder and cosmetics and make them very nice. But then what does she do? She takes some kajal. You know kajal, the black they put in the eye, the mascara. She takes kajal and she puts in the eyes and makes the eyes look very big. And then she takes a big dot and puts it right here and spoils the whole face. So the saintly person is concluding that the reason for her to put this is because she is thinking, my child is looking so beautiful that she may get drishti. You know, if children are very beautiful and somebody sees them and says, oh, you are very beautiful, or even thinks, they get sick. It is called drishti. And sometimes children, when they are looking very beautiful, can also get drishti from their own parents. So in order to protect them from that drishti, the mother spoils his face or her face by putting a big black spot on their forehead. In the same way, the Acharyas are explaining that the Lord, He decorates each and every Vaishnava with so many wonderful qualities, just like the mother does. But then the Lord thinks that my wonderful devotee, whom I have given and decorated with so many qualities, may get drishti of the world. So He gives him some defect in his personality. Wonderful devotee, but has some anger. Wonderful devotee, but has a little greed. Wonderful devotee, but has a little talkative nature. Some tika is there, given to us by the Supreme Lord. One or two bad qualities amongst thousands of wonderful qualities. Devotee is serving, he is enthusiastic, he is dedicated, he is humble, but he has a little defect. So this is how we should see. When we see that one defect or two defects in one devotee, we should say, well, the Lord has put a little tika on him, in his personality. That's all. That's all. And this way, we can remain very peaceful in our interaction with others. And then we don't have to go through all these diti vows to kill Indra. See, even on that level, envy can bring us to such conclusions and such heinous activities. There is a story in the life of Tukaram, a wonderful devotee from Maharashtra. One time in the winter, he would go and bathe in the Godavari River every day. So in the winter he was bathing, he was quite aged, and he was returning back to his kuti, to his little place of worship, and he would have to cross a Muslim locality. One day, while he was returning back, there was a Muslim man, a rich Muslim person, who was on top of the roof of his house, and he was looking at Tukaram, a Hindu man, coming and going to his house. So while he was brushing his teeth in the morning, he spat at Tukaram. Tukaram got wet with the spit of the Muslim person. He did not even so much as look up in retaliation. He returned back and went to purify himself by bathing again. He took bath and he came, and the Muslim was thinking, oh, now you're taking bath. He spat at him again. And again Tukaram went and did the same thing without even looking up. And like this, it became a joke for the Muslim man. And he kept spitting and kept spitting, and Tukaram kept taking bath. And the Muslim man was counting. The 100th time, 100 baths, he went and took. When he came back, the Muslim man came down from his house and fell at the feet of Tukaram. He said, I have never, ever seen a man like you. Your tolerance and humility and your ability to accept my bad activity, I want to become your disciple. So with the strength of humility and tolerance is how we can win the hearts of others. This is the way to do it. And examples are there. These examples are there in Shastra, in the lives of our wonderful Acharyas, for us to become inspired. And when we are confronted with that situation, then these stories will help us, will remind us to make the right decision and thereby tread the path of spiritual life uninterrupted. So it is time. I will stop here. I thank you again very much for giving me the audience to be able to speak in Shri Shri Panchatattva Mandir. If there are any comments or one or two questions, we can take for the next 5 minutes. Yes, Prabhuji.
Jnanivas was telling us that no matter what happens in the world, they'll always go on serving Sri Sri Radha Madhava in some capacity, you know. But when we wonder about the temple of the Vedic planetarium, is it dependent on the world situation being stable, that everybody be able to give it, make their pledges. They're able to keep their jobs and the economy strong, and no disasters that could interrupt it. Is the finishing it dependent on that kind of stability?
I will answer that question. Thank you very much for bringing up TOVP, because my identity is I'm a salesman for TOVP. And I was a little bit shy as to how I'm going to bring up the TOVP in this audience also. And you have instigated it. Thank you very much. The TOVP temple was predicted, and its construction started 500 years ago when Nityananda Prabhu told Jiva Goswami, Iha ek adbhut mandir hoibe vikash, Gurangor nitya seva hoibe prakash. And at that very time, the temple already started to manifest. The minute the lordships, when we sow a seed in the field, it takes time for it to come out of the ground. It takes its own time. We plant a tree, it takes its own time to give fruit, but not with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are leelas like this, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he immediately manifested mangoes without seeds and without skin in Gadadhar Pandit's house. So when Nityananda Prabhu made the prediction, the manifestation has already begun. It is our greatest fortune that in front of our material eyes, in the maturity of our lives, not only are we seeing with our eyes the manifestation of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the form of this temple, but also we are getting an opportunity to participate. Our participation, our contribution and donation to the temple, whether the temple is manifested in our lifetime or not, that is not of importance. What is of importance is that we got an opportunity to serve the project. We gave our hard-earned money, our savings, in order to make this temple manifest. It is the endeavor that matters in spiritual life, and not the result. And there is no reason to believe that there will be situation in the world by which this temple will not manifest. Because Srila Prabhupada many times, he said, there would have already been a third world war by now if it wasn't for the Hare Krishna movement. The chanting of the Hare Krishna that is so enthusiastically going on all over the world, where our devotees are participating, that is keeping all the plans of Maharaj Kali completely at bay. Our acharyas have come to save the world, and they are saving it, and they will save it. With great faith in our hearts, we should go on with our service and not get entangled in speculating anything negative. Let us be very positive, very enthusiastic. Srila Prabhupada used to often say, our movement is based on enthusiasm. And enthusiasm is based on positiveness. Always be positive. Okay, Prabhuji? To a certain extent, I've tried to answer your question. Thank you. And there was another devotee at the back. Yes, Prabhuji. Okay. Any comments or questions? Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the nice class. I would like to ask you to describe some of the symptoms of envy so that we can recognize when envy is arising in our hearts and try to curtail that mentality before it manifests.
The first symptom of envy is retaliation. One time Bhrigu Muni, he was sent to find out who was the greatest of all the devas. And you all know the story. He went to Brahma. He did not behave properly. Brahma is his father, and Lord Brahma got upset. Then he went to Lord Shiva. And again, Lord Shiva came to embrace him because he's his brother. And he said, oh, don't touch me, don't touch me. You wear a skull and this and that. And Lord Shiva took his trident and ran after him. He said, I'm trying to give you love and this is how you reciprocate? And Brahma said, you are my son and you don't even stand up to me? All very reasonable arguments. All very reasonable arguments. Spiritual life is completely based on unreasonable arguments. Those who apply reasoning can never advance in spiritual life. Srila Prabhupada's going to America at the age of 70 was totally unreasonable. Sumati Murarji, who was a very devotee and also a very intelligent person, she said, what are you doing? You will die, Swamiji. I'm not looking. You're 70, you're the heart patient, you're this, you're that, you're going to a country, you'll die. Unreasonable. But then, at the end, he went to Lord Vishnu and he kicked him. The worst behavior of all. And what was Lord Vishnu's reaction? Oh, Deva, my chest is so hard. I'm sure your lotus feet have become hurt. Let me massage you. And Lakshmi Devi was sitting there. And she was thinking in her own reasoning, you have kicked my husband. I will never go to the house of a Brahmana. And that is the reason we are all poor. We are all Brahmanas, we are poor. I'll never go to the house of Brahmanas. So Saraswati, who is also the sister of Lakshmi, she said, oh, you won't go? I will go. I will go to the house of Brahmanas. And that is why Brahmanas have knowledge, but they don't have money. So to answer your question, this is how it is. Lord Vishnu set the example. He said, please, chama badan ko chahiye, chotan ko utpat, kya bhayo Vishnu ko jo bhrigu ne mari lat. The poet is saying, chama badan ko chahiye, one who is big, one who is elevated, one who is advanced in Krishna consciousness, he should always be having one symptom in his life, chama, 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 forgiveness. Forgiveness in the mind, forgiveness in your activities, forgiveness in your heart, no matter what. Just like I explained, dharma, what was he doing to Kali? Chama, peacefully standing there. Chama, not disturbed. Three legs are broken, not disturbed. No retaliation. So this is the symptom. No retaliation. If there is no retaliation, we are on the right path. And if there is retaliation in our heart, in any way, our mind is disturbed, it is retaliating. Sometimes, you know, many of us are grihasthas, and we know the women, they have a wonderful way of retaliating. What is that? Cry. That is retaliation. We are thinking, oh, so humble, crying, helpless. No, it is retaliation. It is a subtle way of retaliation. So this is what we have to see. When we can come to the point of no retaliation, Tranad api sunichena. Grass, does it retaliate? And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, api sunichena, even humbler than the blade of grass. Which means, after you step on the grass, after some time, it will come back up again. But a devotee, once stepped on, will remain there. No problem, I'll never stand up to protect myself. Then Krishna comes to his protection. I will tell you a story of modern times. It just happened a few years ago. In Mathura, there was a young man, handsome, and he had a very beautiful girlfriend, both Mathura Vasis. And they were walking down the road. This is an actual story, it happened. They were walking down the road, and from the other side, for those of you who've been to Mathura, it's quite crowded, lot of traffic. From the other side, a young sadhu, he was just in his own meditation, and he was walking, and by mistake his arm brushed the pretty girl. Now you know when girls are pretty, anything they make, oh, he touched me, this thing. So she made a big fuss. When she made a big fuss, obviously the tough boyfriend, in order to show how macho he was, he took the sadhu's arm and twisted it hard and beat him. And the sadhu just fell down. And then he was just walking with his girlfriend. While he was walking, 2 minutes later, one car comes from that side and there is an accident. The car hits him. Hits him on the right arm very badly. And that boy falls down. And the crowd surrounds everyone. So what happened? What happened? There was a sadhu on the other side of the street. looking at this entire situation. And he said, nothing happened. This girl's boyfriend beat the sadhu, and the sadhu's boyfriend beat the girl, beat the boy. That's all happened. So we must take shelter of our boyfriend, our Krishna, and he will always be there to protect us in his own way. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.